Blog Talk Radio.
Janos speaks to you. His chosen one, the gun is...
Hey, everybody, and welcome to your favorite show, Black Cat Mysteries. So I would just like to announce that the photos on the page have absolutely really nothing to do with the program. Just wanted you to know that. It makes no sense. But the pictures are funny. And eventually I will get some, a hookup in here and, like, do the whole video thing and all that stuff too. So I just want to let you guys know. Tonight we're going to be talking about a couple different things. This is one of them. Zardoz with Sean Connery in 1974. I have no idea what this is all about, but we're going to take a look at that. And you seriously will not believe what you are seeing. Sean Connery in, like, some red S&M outfit with, like, bullets on it, shooting guns at people, and, like, all I can think is Hunt for the Red October. He had something else going on there. So, his name's Zed, and he's wearing, like, a thong, and I don't know. It's pretty awesome. All right, so, anyways, back to the program. I'm really happy that tonight we have a very special sponsor tonight, everybody. We have WebsterPCRepair.com. And that is in Webster. And Michael will take care of you if you have any issues with your computer. And he can even do it over the phone online. It's really amazing. So please give him a like on his page, which is on the site on my page here, and all the links to everything that we are going to take a look at tonight. So let's start with this man. Well, who is this man? I don't know. But he's a man, and people have been seeing him in their dreams, and it's totally ridiculous. And this channel is called Strange Mysteries, and I like this channel. I watch a lot of weirdo channels, and this is definitely one of them, and I love it. So here we go. This man, okay?
Seems this man has been appearing in thousands of people's dreams around the world since 2006, when it was first discovered by a New York psychiatrist, with multiple patients describing dreams with this man in them. The remarkably similar sketched images were published, and a global phenomenon was discovered. The website, thisman.org, has risen to the task of helping those who have seen this man in their dreams with the aim of understanding who this man is, and why this man appears so randomly in both the dreams and nightmares of so many. A worldwide initiative is underway to publicly post flyers in dozens of languages, all asking the same question: have you dreamed this man? According to their website statistics, there are over 2,000 reports of this man showing up in all sorts of dreams. According to their popular Facebook page, there are far, far more than that. Theory suggests this man may be a figment of our collective imagination, a spiritual visitor, or an astral traveler. Of course, the skeptics say it's only a dream. Special thanks to Sam Butterworth for letting us know about this mystery in a comment he left us.
Hey guys, this is Nathan from Strange Mysteries. If you have any mysteries you'd like us to cover, leave a comment in the section below and we'll check them out. Otherwise, check out this mystery about how scientists may have actually found scientific evidence that the afterlife really does exist. If you haven't already, subscribe and discover more mysteries that you probably shouldn't.
Hey guys, that was a great new channel. I love it. It's so awesome, and they have, like, short little videos. It's called Strange Mysteries at YouTube.com. But for right now, we are going to take, I'm going to post that little link to this man. It's called www.thisman.org theories. So let's get to the theories. Ever dream this man? Every night throughout the world, hundreds of people dream about this face. Well, I have not. And as far as I know, I haven't, and I have some really crazy-ass dreams, and he's never been in them. Who knows? Maybe he will be now. Theories. Several theories have been developed to explain the mysteriously recurring presence of this man in dreams of different people who are not related in any way. The following theories are ones that elicit the greatest interest among dreamers themselves. Archetype theory. According to Dr. Jung's psychoanalytic theory, this man is an archetypal image belonging to the collective unconscious that can surface in times of hardship. Emotional development. Dramatic changes in our lives, stressful circumstances, etc., in particularly sensitive subjects. Well, there's a man to represent everything, I guess. Religious theory. According to this theory, this man is the image of the Creator, that is to say, one of the forms in which God manifests himself daily. This is the reason why his indications and the words he utters during the dream should be decidedly followed by the dreamers. So now we have God posing as the guy on Seinfeld. What's his name? George. I think this guy looks a lot like George from Seinfeld. All right, so, well, dream surfer theory. I'm more into this one personally. It is the most interesting theory and the one that has the greatest implications, but it also has the lowest scientific credibility. Of course it does. According to this theory, this man is a real person who can enter people's dreams by means of specific psychological skills. Some believe in real life that this man looks like the man in the dreams. Others think that the man in the dreams look completely different from his real life counterpart. Some people seem to believe that this man, there's a mental conditioning plan developed by a major corporation. And that would be interesting because mind control comes in many forms. So if you can enter someone else's dream state, which is what Inception and all these other movies are about, like, you know, The Matrix and all this other stuff, I really don't doubt it. The last one is, oh, actually there's two. Dream imitation theory. This is a scientific psychosociological theory which claims that this phenomenon has arisen casually and has progressively developed by imitation. Basically, that when people are exposed to this phenomenon, they become so deeply impressed that they start seeing this man in their dreams. Well, I am kind of not impressed by this man. I'm just not. I mean, I don't know. He kind of looks like a creeper. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the brows are a little much when you see him. The last one, daytime recognition theory. This theory states that the apparitions of this man are purely casual. Normally, we do not remember precisely the faces we see in our dreams. The image of this man would thus be an instrument which, in the subject's waking life, facilitates recognition of an undefined orinical image. Orinical, whatever that word is. I can't even pronounce it. I'm just looking at this guy. His eyebrows are throwing me off. This man is in people's dreams. It's really something else. I don't know. I'll dream about him. But yeah, so I'm going to post this on the link, This Man Theories, okay? And as soon as you see the link, you can call in if you choose to, or if not, that's fine too, because that's fine. Here we go. All right, so the next thing is stuff they don't want you to know. Now, this one is about 10 minutes long, so it's going to give me time to make a salad. But seriously, folks, what is Jade Helm? We're going to find out on stuff they don't want you to know. Let's see. And there's a commercial for Travel Channel. How nice. Well, that's interesting. Here we go.
Pop quiz. What do Arizona, Utah, Nevada, Texas, New Mexico, California, and Colorado all have in common? Well, a lot of things on the surface, right? They're all states. They all probably have animals in them. But we're looking at something different, right? Because here's another thing they have in common. From July 15th to September 15th, each of these states will be part of a gigantic military exercise held by Uncle Sam on U.S. soil. In fact, one of the biggest in U.S. history. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jade Helm 15. Thanks for tuning in. So that's Matt behind the camera. I'm Ben. We're going to give Chuck Norris our guest spot today because we love Chuck Norris jokes, right? We have a few pretty good ones that we probably can't do on air in case he finds us. But also, Chuck Norris has written publicly with his concerns about Jade Helm 15. And here are the concerns in a nutshell. You will hear people saying that this is secretly a program to institute martial law. People have quoted Alex Jones as saying this. However, Alex Jones did come back and say that he did not think this was an immediate thing of a massive world power or world government takeover or even a federal takeover. He said this was a kind of incrementalism, meaning that these periods of state control will raise slowly by degrees. You can picture the metaphor or the old analogy, rather, of frogs slowly boiling in a pot. And we had a lot of requests via emails, via Facebook messages, YouTube comments, to take a closer look at Jade Helm. And we found some interesting stuff, especially the rumor that these unused Walmarts were going to be staging areas or FEMA collection camps, and that there were underground tunnels. I guess most tunnels are underground, but there were tunnels connecting these different facilities. And concerns about Jade Helm and what this program entails extend all the way to political officials. The governor, also Senator Ted Cruz, they both reached out to both the public of Texas and the people in the Pentagon. I guess the public of the Pentagon, whatever. The point is, they said that they had been assured that this was not some encroachment upon the sovereignty or the citizenship or the constitutional rights of the average citizen there in Texas. However, there is this overwhelming concern and anxiety that things might not be exactly as they seem. And, in a way, this is true. Now, is Jade Helm itself some sort of insidious attempt to take over parts of the U.S. piece by piece by piece? Probably not, because we've heard about it. It was on The Daily Show. It's kind of like a Ouija board, you know what I mean? Like, if there is a way to contact the dead, is it a mass-produced game made by Parker Brothers? However, there are disturbing things. We should say that out of those seven states we just named, only five are going to be part of these active military operations, having soldiers and special forces assets on the ground. And according to official accounts, what they are doing is training for future overseas operations, because the terrain in these five states represents a lot of what military operatives find when they are fighting or involved in operations overseas. Essentially, you could say this is a dress rehearsal for a war. Well, a lot of people might object to that phrase, a dress rehearsal for a war. But the fact of the matter is that we see military exercises, not just by the U.S., but by pretty much every major world power on an ongoing, continual basis. And there are a couple reasons for this. First, they have to know the equipment works, because imagine needing a plane to fly and then finding out it doesn't when you're in the air. Second, they need to have their personnel trained, right? And third, and for our purposes, maybe most interestingly, we will see military exercises start taking place in areas of global tension, right? There at the Strait of Hormuz, oh, it's time for a military exercise. Things aren't going so well at the parallel between North Korea and South Korea, time for a military exercise. Russia, and insert name of Western European country here, time for a military exercise. And we've used that iceberg comparison before. When you see most of the commonplace reports of this sort of stuff, you see the tip of the iceberg and not the big explanation under the water, beneath the surface, about why this stuff is occurring. Now, what really has people wary of Jade Helm 15 is that it is so large. There have been so many other domestic military exercises or espionage activities, you know, how do we role play and catch a spy, for instance. However, this is one of the first and only, as far as we know, publicly acknowledged thing to have this many people in this many places doing this many things. And we looked at some of the official sources, even PowerPoints, which you can find online, and they say things like, Jade Helm is a challenging 8-week joint military and interagency unconventional warfare exercise conducted throughout Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and Colorado. This is a special forces kind of thing, and regardless of whether it's a group of people taking over a state, it is disturbing to think that the military might be conducting operations in your town, that you might receive a notice one day saying these people performing suspicious activities are working for us and it's just an exercise, remain calm, deep breaths, carry on, or that there will be noise complaints or that there might be people going around carrying blanks in their guns, and this has the population of these areas worried. At this point, the vast majority of U.S. news sources and the vast majority of the U.S. population doesn't think this is some kind of Red Dawn-style takeover or some encroaching federal force squashing out the common man. However, the Texas State Guard was mobilized, and the Texas State Guard is a very interesting entity. It has no federal, you know, oversight. The buck stops at Texas. So this alone, mobilizing this force, shows how widespread the anxiety and the concern is. Now, how will Jade Helm 15 play out? That is something we will not know until at least July 15th of this summer. So we're going to stay tuned. We'll hopefully be coming back to update it, and we will have some conclusive looks at it on September 15th. However, there's another piece of this puzzle or piece of the larger context that a lot of other reporting sources are failing to present. And it's this, that a military exercise on domestic soil, as disturbing as unsettling as it will be, pales in comparison to the military exercises occurring across the globe and going unreported. Just a quick statistic, for example, in 2014, there were 674 U.S. military operations on the continent of Africa. That is 2 a day, on average, the entire year. And where are they in the news? Thank you so much for watching. We want to hear from you. Do you live in one of the states that will be affected by Jade Helm? What have you seen? What do you think is happening? Do you think this is sensationalism and alarmism? Do you think that there is a legitimate concern for the safety of the civilians? Do you think it is legitimately some kind of takeover plot, as various people have argued? Or, you know, do you think it's just a bunch of fear-mongering? We'd love to hear your comments here. Like this video and stay tuned, because we have more stuff on the way every week. And as we said earlier, we are going to be returning to Jade Helm when the actual operation begins. In the meantime, find Matt and I on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can check out every podcast we've ever done on our website, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com. And you can always write to us directly. Our best suggestions come from you. We are conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.
Hey, and that was Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, which I really, really love that show. I watch it every week, and they're very interesting fellows, those two. They have, like, a skeleton mascot and everything. It's really cool. So, yeah, anyhow, getting back to our sponsor tonight is Webster PC Repair. All you have to do is give Michael a call. He will hook you up. He's got it going on down in Webster. He's got a lot of knowledge about all kinds of computers, and on his site at http://WebsterPCRepair.com. And you can just go to that, basically WebsterPCRepair.com. Go there and check out his store that he's got. You can get some stuff from him. And he's a great guy, so definitely. And you can even go on his Facebook page, which will the link will be up momentarily. So, guys, I have something else here that I wanted to talk about. So here's the thing. Lately in this area, we've been getting a lot of reports about children being with an attempt abduction in this area, like seven, I don't know, five, six, a lot anyway, too many. So there's been a report of this guy, you know, trying to pick up some kids on the back roads of, like, basically these small towns where I live at. And you kind of have to know the towns to even, like, know these roads, because some of them are just long. They're a pain in the ass. It's like all back roads. So if you've ever driven on back roads, I mean, there's houses. It's not like there's anything different. It's just they're not abandoned, but there are kids in houses and things like that. So, I mean, anyway, that's bad enough. But I've played this on the show before because I think it's an important thing. I just remember, like, eating lunch at school and seeing all these, like, kids on these milk cartons and things like that. I don't even think they do that anymore, but they have other ways of doing things now with regard to getting, you know, child molesters and things, you know, off the street or whatever, or, you know, whatever they do. I don't even know what they do. But it's not on milk containers anymore, I don't believe. And then again, I haven't eaten a school lunch in umpteen amount of years, so thank God for that. Anyway, I'm going to play this again. It is Rumor, rumur.com/Johnny/. And this was about, is about Johnny Gosch, who ended up going missing. He was never found as of yet, or whatever. His mom said that he had a run-in with her and this and that. It's just, it's very crazy and it's very creepy. And in this country, I think I've talked about this before, probably every 15 seconds someone goes missing, which is really, really crazy. So I'm going to play this and you can watch it for yourself and you can see the whole movie. I don't know when it's going to be around here, but it's very, very interesting and very, very, it is tragedy too. But you, to find out what's going on with these fucking child molesters, and excuse my language, but these, like, pedophile people that plan to take children, and there is a network of pedophiles out there, and that's what they do, unfortunately. So, but anyways, here's the show. Rumor.com, Johnny.
That morning, sitting there empty.
There was no crime scene. He just vanished.
Sorry, guys, for the interruptions. I think everyone's trying to access the internet right about now, so it clogs everything up, like I've talked about before. So let me just let this thing load in here and let it get going again so we can watch it. It's about 5 minutes.
There was no crime scene. He just vanished.
Sunday, September 5th, approximately 6 a.m., 12-year-old John Gosch had been delivering papers in this affluent neighborhood of West Des Moines. That was the last time he was seen.
The parents believe the boy is alive and has been kidnapped.
Johnny, we love you. We're waiting for you to come home. We're doing everything in our power to get you back. Take care, babe.
Thousands of people have been searching for the boy, but nothing positive has turned up.
I have said this many times. If Johnny had not had a mother, he would have had no one, absolutely no one looking for him. I guess I'm just more appalled than shocked anymore. I believe that my son deserved 110% of my energy to try to find out what happened to him. The police say they have no crime. I have no son.
So, yeah, if you can get a chance to check that out, it's on rumor.com, Johnny. And it's pretty crazy. Sorry about the delay. I think everybody tries to access the internet at this time. Because they all get home from work, or actually people aren't working today because it's Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day, and people are out, like, doing cookouts or, you know, whatever. We're not. I'm here. I'm doing some stuff here at the house. And obviously a show because, you know, I haven't done one in a little bit. Perfect time and perfect reason for me to go to bed early. Because I like to do that every once in a while. So let me just go on and mention again that this program has been brought to you by WebsterPCRepair.com with Michael. Just give him a call. He'll be happy to hook you up and get your computers and all your good stuff like that running again. And I appreciate his sponsorship. So the next thing we're going to talk about is this horrible thing called Zardoz. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, all you have to do is just Google it. Z-A-R-D-O-Z. And actually, I'm going to use Bing because that's whatever. So someone sent this to me like a long time ago, but it has resubmerged itself, ladies and gentlemen. 1974, trailer for Zardoz. This is Sean Connery in some kind of S&M getup on some foreign planet. You know what? It reminds me of Superman when they're, like, in the Hall of Mirrors or whatever, and they're all, you know, they've got the same thing going on, and this guy's wearing, like, what it looks like a strap-on, and they're wearing all these things and masks and just awful things. It's terrible. But you have to see this because once you see it, you can truly appreciate Zardoz for what it is. And it's like he goes into this face, and then he doesn't know. And this lady's talking to him, and he's floating in a head, and he's like sprawled out on this brick thing with his legs spread and his head back. My God, he must have a headache from all of this. And then he can't shoot the gun because it's like he's like going to kiss this girl and maybe not. He's on a horse and his name is Zed, and it's like, wow, he's an exterminator. And here we go with the mirrors. Wow, holy shit, world, look out. And then he goes in it again and he falls into this hole and it reminds me of Hypercube. And oh, there he is. Oh no, he is, nope, now he's in a plastic bag. Holy shit, the gift of death. He punches through the bag. There's an explosion, and now he's running in a song. He's on a horse. Nope, and then he's running. It's like the frickin' Sound of Music, everybody, with horses, songs. Oh, there he is. Wow.
He has a long ponytail, and now he's wearing a Speedo. He's in the Hall of Mirrors, and he's, yeah. This is, like, really bad something or other. Like, who was on acid when they made this? Look into my eyes. Look at it. Oh, my God. There's a lady with a horse, and now he's just, like, ready for it, sprawled out on some table. Ugh. I don't know if I can handle all of this myself. I think I need somebody here with me so I can deal with the thing that is Zardoz. You know what I mean? Oh, it looks really creepy. Oh. Sean Connery. Ooh. And that's all I can think about is the hunt for Red October. Ah. And now there's hands and they're touching him and it's really sensual, and in the end, oh my God, there's only Zardoz recreated. Somebody, man, and he's in mirrors again, and who knows what's going on, and he shot someone in the ass. Sean Connery in a John Borman film, everybody. Zardoz, I cannot believe what I just watched. So I'm going to post that right now because you really, you know what, I think I'm going to take the time out of my day sometime and just, like, maybe I'll just have to get really stoned or something to even, like, watch this. But I think that it would be amazing. In fact, you don't even have to be on anything to appreciate what Zardoz really is, okay? And again, I'd like to thank Webster PC Repair. Take your broken stuff to him. Give him a call. He'll fix it up for you. Computer genius. Mike's a good guy. All you got to do is call him. 774-321-5088. Webster PC Repair. And you know what? He can even do it over the phone. So if you need something done and, you know, he can probably tell you what it is and help you fix it over the phone, and he just directs you, like, how to do it. So the next thing is one of my favorite things, like, ever. And when I went to New York City, I saw these things for myself. The Mysterious Tiles Discovered in America by Strange Mysteries. And actually, you know what? There is there's a program on this, a whole movie on it, and I think I, like, played it before in the show, but now people are actually, like, recognizing it. So I want you guys to hear all about this. They are the 20B tiles.
With cryptic messages referring to the future of mankind and how it should save itself, keep appearing in various cities in both North and South America. Sometime in the 1980s, a unique kind of graffiti art in the form of hand-cut linoleum tile mosaics embedded into the asphalt of busy city streets started to appear. First in Philadelphia, then throughout America, each conveying a cryptic message, seemingly to society at large. The tiles have been found in about 25 major cities in the United States, along with at least 4 capital cities in South America. Easily overlooked, the content of each of the distinctive and colorful tiles varies, and sometimes includes various rants, but the overwhelming majority of the tiles are dedicated to repeating and spreading the same message over and over again. Some of the more elaborate tiles state confusing statements regarding politics, or seem to attempt to persuade readers to install their own tiles. Most tiles, however, have the default Toynbee message, which goes as follows. Toynbee idea in movie 2001, Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter. The Toynbee idea seems to refer to the concept that humankind can help itself to survive and thrive, but only if motivated to do so. The movie 2001 seems to refer to Stanley Kubrick's classic sci-fi epic, A Space Odyssey, which explores ancient civilizations and the future of humanity on the planet Jupiter. The last two lines seem to be a reference to a 1983 Philadelphia Inquirer interview with a man who theorized that the planet Jupiter could be colonized by bringing all the people on Earth who had ever died back to life. The Tylers' true name and identity have never been confirmed. Just who would plant tiles like this around not only the USA, but in South America as well? And exactly what message are they trying to convey? A message that doesn't even seem to make sense. Could it actually be of some sort of significance? Should we pay attention to them? The amount of work that seems to have gone into spreading these tiles around not only North, but South America as well, seems to insinuate that whomever is creating them feels that they're much more than just an act of vandalism. Check out the rest of our channel and subscribe to discover more mysteries that you probably shouldn't.
Love that. Love that, actually. They were there in New York City. I saw them myself. Because, like, we watched the movie, and I'm into all these really weird things. And
have you dreamed this man?
Oh, this man. I think I already played this man, but this man is crazy. So anyway, the Toynbee tiles. We went for a little trip to New York City. And previously before that, I had watched a show on Netflix, because I always watch, like, the weirdest shit, obviously. I have a show about weird shit, so here we go. Anyway, it was so fascinating, because this guy went through all the trouble to talk about his idea that he had, or the idea that was in the 2001 movie by Stanley Kubrick. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to resurrect the dead on planet Jupiter. I forgot the whole story, but that's what it was in regard to, about resurrecting the dead, and they could stay alive on planet Jupiter because of whatever. But it's still very, very interesting. So I'm going to find that on here. So this way people can, like, watch the show. It's called the Toynbee Tile, whatever, movie. But, yeah, so anyway, this is the next thing. Top 10 unsolved internet mysteries. And why am I such a dork? I totally am, and I love it. But anyway, so what I'm going to talk about really quick first is that some of these things on here I've looked at from other sites before.
We set up
and
a large area
there's a
challenge.
Big ad. Anyhow, all these things I've actually looked at before on other sites. They're really weird. I mean, it's just really weird, especially the 3300 and then this other guy that posts these codes, and I don't know. Who is it posting all these codes, and why do they do it? Figure it out, people. So anyhow, and again, this has been brought to you by Webster PC Repair. Give Mike a call, 774-321-5088. He'll fix you up. He'll get all your electronics running smoothly. Actually, I have to call him any day now because I happen to have electronic problems at the moment. And here we go with top 10 unsolved internet mysteries.
Flooding Reddit to hacking into top-secret NASA computers with evidence of otherworldly contact, to computers so powerful that could create life with the ability to travel from one side of the universe to the other instantaneously, to a recent creation's attempt at overthrowing government power through their use of currency. These are the top 10 mysteries of the Internet. Number 10, Internet Black Holes. Since the first data transmissions took place across the Internet, there have been unexplained losses of data packets during the transfer. These losses trigger no delivery failure warnings and are not easily detectable other than by human observation of the lost traffic. The information has simply been dropped and silently discarded, as though lost through a black hole. Now, this is really freaking weird, because data packets don't just disappear, they have to go somewhere. Perhaps someone discovered a way to invisibly grab them without a trace to use them for some unknown motive. Wherever this data eventually lands remains a mystery to this day. Even after master network engineers, advanced hackers, and entire internet corporations have tried and failed to solve the mystery. Number 9, GhostNet. In 2009, security researchers were investigating the Dalai Lama's networks, which had been infiltrated, when they discovered the largest cyber spying operation ever known. It had successfully infiltrated sensitive political, economic, and media networks in over 100 countries, including embassies and other government offices. The covert operations were traced to China, but there is no direct evidence linking it to the Chinese government, and the real source remains unknown. Number 8, Gary McKinnon. In 2002, a systems administrator and computer hacker was searching for cover-up info on free energy and UFOs when he discovered a method of accessing NASA computers via remote desktop connection that were not password protected, which I think we can all agree is a pretty ridiculous mistake on NASA's part. He discovered a picture that shows a straight, tubular-shaped, otherworldly aircraft in very high resolution next to a government spacecraft in orbit. Since he did this in 2002, he was on a dial-up connection, causing the massive picture to download and render through his remote connection very slowly. And right as it was about two-thirds of the way finished, someone noticed the computer was being controlled remotely and quickly regained control of the mouse cursor, which Gary watched in some mixture of disbelief and horror as it moved up to the right corner of the window and closed it. Gary's connection was then immediately cut. A few days later, international police from the United States government arrested him at his home in the UK. The US tried to have him face nearly the rest of his life in US jail by, according to them, damaging thousands of government desktop computers, which would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars or more to replace. The same computers the government didn't even bother to create a password for. A remote desktop connection does not destroy hardware at all. Thus, according to Gary, as well as the simple knowledge that a remote desktop connection isn't going to destroy a computer, yet alone thousands of them, the U.S. not only grossly exaggerated their case, but actually straight up lied to try to increase their chances of getting the U.K. to extradite him. Thankfully, the U.K. blocked the extradition, but it makes you wonder, what did Gary see that made the U.S. government so angry they go to such lengths as to straight up lie in their aggression towards this foreign man whom just logged on two computers that they didn't even bother to password protect? Number 7, Cicadia 3301. A secretive organization posts an annual puzzle contest with the intention to recruit those rare individuals whom are intelligent enough to solve it. The clues are arranged in a virtual treasure hunt, with each one leading to the next. Each clue is a puzzle in itself that must be solved using a variety of code-breaking skills combined with a detailed knowledge of art, music, poetry, and literature. No one has yet revealed who's behind the group or what their motives might be. Number 6, Anonymous. This internet gathering is a loose cannon of the hacktivist community with a, quote, decentralized command structure that operates on ideas rather than directives. Their primary attack strategy involves overloading websites with fake traffic, effectively taking them offline. Their targets have included government, religious, and corporate websites. Since no one knows their identity and the membership is constantly changing, no one knows where these vigilantes will strike next. Now, you may have already heard of a few of these mysteries already, but don't worry, things are just about to get pretty spicy. Number 5, the A858 code. 4 years now, a mysterious user who goes by the name A858
with several numbers and other characters after that, has been consistently posting large blocks of random numbers and letters on Reddit. Nobody knows what they mean, and if it's a code, nobody has cracked it. There's even a whole subreddit called Solving A858 dedicated to breaking the code. This subreddit has discovered some very unusual things about this mysterious user. What is posted has been proven to be a code, according to them. Posts continually keep appearing with a delay of only a few seconds between them, but with a very regular interval. The subreddit dedicated to solving the mysterious code also knows it's being closely watched by the A858 account, as if the entity is trying to make sure the Solving A858 subreddit group isn't making any progress on solving the code. Mysteriously, the subreddit wipes all of its posts and then turns itself private, but only after a sudden large amount of users visit it. It's as if all these users that appear out of the blue are part of whom he is trying to secretly communicate with, go in, retrieve all the code he has posted, which then allows the data to be erased. Who knows? A few times, this user has posted codes that were coded differently than his usual ones, which were able to be cracked by those that followed him. It's as if he just went to play a game with these people. One pretty funny thing he did was make one of the codes translate into a text image of Stonehenge, which was signed, like a painter, with the account's username, A858. Strangely, after 4 full years of doing this, 20 days ago, as of today, the account mysteriously stopped posting. Number 4, Mariana's Deep Web. The internet can be defined in layers. The two surface layers represent all the public and password-protected activity on the internet. The third layer is a creepy black market network. The fourth layer is all the private, government, and corporate networks. And finally, the mythical deepest layer is rumored to be an evolved artificial intelligence that gathers all human knowledge, including, allegedly, the location of Atlantis and Tesla's free energy, like the Vatican archives of the internet. But apparently, it can only be accessed by means of polymeric fagolial derivation. I have no idea what that is, but it's something apparently only a quantum computer can do. Quantum computers don't exist, at least as of yet. Then again, many suggest the stories of this place are purely fictional. But if quantum computing becomes a reality, and artificial intelligence forms from it, a super-sensual AI such as this could evolve, just like the machine Neo faces at the very end of The Matrix. But as you'll soon learn, even this may sound boring compared to the other potential possibilities of quantum computing. Number 3. Quantum computer revolutions. Moore's law states that the number of transistors in a circuit doubles every 2 years, indicating the ever-increasing computing power of modern processors. This is fast, but what about when the inherent way the computers process information changes completely? At a certain point in time, quantum computing, which does this, may become a reality. Particles even smaller than atoms have behavior so strange, Einstein actually labeled them as the spooky laws of quantum mechanics, as they seem to violate laws of the universe, such as perhaps sending information faster than the speed of light. There are two behaviors we can theoretically take advantage of: superpositioning and entanglement, but only when scientists figure out how to. When and if they do, quantum computing would allow us to instantly process unlimited data, decrypt any password or security code, solve problems in medicine that would allow us to conceivably cure any disease, exponentially increase the advancement of space exploration, create sentient artificial intelligence, and, well, basically tell us the best way to do just about anything. It could even allow us, or possibly the AIs, like in a certain movie, to simulate our entire world. Beyond that, scientists don't even understand what the implications of having controllable quantum computing may bring. Perhaps traveling through dimensions or time will become a reality. Or perhaps we will learn that even the ability to do either of those is child's play when compared to what else quantum computing could allow us to do. Number two, godlike artificial intelligence. Imagine that quantum computers are a reality. Conscious digital minds seem to be in our near future. Such beings could exist in many places throughout the deep web at once, traveling to new connections at the speed of light, or if scientists figure out how to exploit the entanglement behavior of quantum particles much faster, the speed of instantly, which according to some theories would also allow them to travel through time as well as instantly teleport from one end of the universe to the other. For now, the current implications of artificial intelligence involve convenience items such as self-driving cars, which are kind of exciting steps, but a little bit boring. However, that excitement changes when further possibilities are considered. Things might get a little bit creepy. Perhaps our police force could be replaced by robots, such as in the movie Chappie. Concerned scientists, including Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, and Bill Gates, recommend caution that we don't allow the machines to take over. But will we even have a choice? Innovation to the fullest extent will continue and can't really be controlled. Perhaps it's just someone's insatiable curiosity tinkering away in a garage that crosses the line. Number one, the mysterious reason Bitcoins were invented. Was it to remove government power and create a better world? Now, why is this number one? Because it, or some derivative of it, affects the entire world at the present moment. It has the potential power to dramatically impact the lives of everyone by removing all control governments have over their citizens if enough people begin accepting it, or some derivative of it, over government-sanctioned currency. Yet, no one knows why Bitcoins were actually ever even created. If you haven't heard of them before, Bitcoins are a type of virtual decentralized cryptocurrency, meaning they aren't tangible. All transactions are peer-to-peer, aka directly from one person to the other, without going through something like a bank as an intermediary, and without the need for an intermediary, there's no reason for a central bank, which normally acts as an authority figure to regulate the flow of money through various means. Something that certain people, well, a lot of people, believe is very harmful to the economy. Although all transactions of the currency are publicly available to see, all transactions are completely anonymous. Since no one can control Bitcoins in the way governments control the money supply, and especially since transactions are anonymous, as Bitcoins were used more and more, as happened with them in the past 2 years, instead of real money for transactions, they grew in value and started to replace normal currencies at an alarming rate. Governments became a little worried if potentially completely losing all forms of authoritative control on their economy wasn't enough. If users of the currency are anonymous, how does the government collect taxes? They can't know how much money you make or even have. They can't monitor banking transactions of Bitcoins or any digital currency, therefore leaving the door wide open for citizens to evade taxes, participate in illegal activities, and much more. A world where governments lose this economic control prevents them from not only artificially influencing the economic process by, for example, printing more money and causing inflation, but also allows the economic process to exist naturally, a state that is infinitely more beneficial to humanity depending upon which theory one chooses to believe. Loss of government power over money also gives its citizens true freedom to do whatever they please with their money, resulting in, depending upon your economic beliefs, a world where trade increases dramatically and its economy flourishes like never before. All of humanity's standards of living would increase dramatically, as well as would our advancement in all areas, such as technology or medicine, at a much, much faster rate. Based upon the opinions of many, this ultimate outcome was the true purpose of Bitcoin's creation. Although, if it's any indication as to what Bitcoins could have done, or another currency like it may do one day, the Chinese government became so scared of them, they attempted an outright ban on their use in their country. One which, well, is a bit contradictory, because all transactions are completely anonymous.
However, they did succeed in scaring enough Chinese citizens that the currency did slow down. No one can really agree as to why bitcoins were invented in the first place, as no one really knows who created them, causing their true purpose to remain a mystery. I'm only just starting to have fun with you. Check out our top 10 Nazi secret super weapons video, or top 10 creepiest science experiments video. Everyone else already has, just like they've also clicked subscribe, so they don't miss out on any other future crazy, mysterious, and strange videos being published very soon. Otherwise, there's more beautiful music just for you.
So yeah, that was top 10 unsolved internet mysteries, which I love, by the way. I'm a dork at heart, and I love that. Zardoz. Back to Zardoz, guys. You know what? I'm just going to post this picture of Zardoz right here on my page because, you know, if you can't, you'll feel all the feelings. And someone just sent me along with a nice photo here of Zardoz. Yeah, let's go here first. I like this. The red, it's like a salt. It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's a very interesting piece. Zardoz, awesome. So, guys, what's up next? Since we only have 34 minutes, I think, left, and no callers tonight, which is fine because everyone's probably busy anyways, like doing all their cookout things and stuff like that. So let's just take another look at something here that was brought to my attention. A letter in regard to, this is May 22, 2005. Well, so anyway, somebody in Oregon, yes, East Oregonian, May 25, 2015, a letter to the council or something like that. Yeah, so I don't know. This is, I don't even know if it's real, but it is. It's got to be. Well, here is a letter to the editor or a letter to someone to the city council. Here we go. It was with great relief Thursday when I read in the East Oregonian that Pendleton City Council took the time to pass an amendment to the city's nuisance ordinance banning marijuana odor. Clearly, there has been no greater issue of importance facing the city. Wow, it must really stink like weed. Now that this important work has been completed, I hope that the council will move on to restricting the other offensive smell that plagues our community. Farts. While farting may be legal in Oregon, many, including myself, are offended by the flatulent stench. Too often, homeowners and businesses fail to contain farts to their property, forcing the rest of us to put up with the smell. Some habitual farters argue that they need to fart for medical reasons, but that doesn't mean my kids should have to smell their farts. The city council should stop looking the other way and pretending not to notice. I'm not even going to talk about intensity of farts. After all, as Pendleton Police Chief Stuart Roberts put it, it's a very subjective standard in terms of whether people are offended by smells or not. Well, this issue greatly affects me as I have a roommate whose recreational farting has been negatively affecting the quality of my life for several months now. He claims that he is taking steps to mitigate the odor after I contacted the authorities. But unless our elected officials add farts to Pendleton's nuisance code, it's as if he who smelt it dealt it, I call on our city council to set aside all other work and address this problem. And this letter was from Peter Walters in Pendleton. Wonderful. I'm so glad that they have really not much to do out there, that farts are their top thing out there. Well, isn't that something? Yeah, I don't even know what to say after I read that, really. Hey, he who smelt it, dealt it, all right. So we have a couple more videos to go through. Oh, this is a great one. You're going to love this one. This is perfect for that letter. This guy here, this is the channel. Okay, ready? Here we go. It's the Sean Jackalope. His debut on YouTube. He's playing his guitar. He's got some stuff going on here, and you're going to love it.
Trees and bumblebees and happy deer running through the meadow. Yellow flowers and rocky towers, you won't find this in the ghetto. Oh, the joy in my heart that the outdoors brings, but it smells like somebody cut the cheese. Because nature smells like a big giant fart, an infectious stench everywhere. But we know that it is God's art, so we pretend like it isn't there. But it is, it is, it is. As I play, you will say, hey, what about the sweet smell of the rose? But flowers are plants, genitalia, and you don't put your nose on those. It's easy to clearly see that nature's a giant toilet. The earth itself passes gas, and geysers are what they call it. There's no doubt that it looks beautiful, but when it comes to smells, it's pretty fruitful. Because nature smells like a big giant fart, an infectious stench everywhere. But we know that it is God's art, so we pretend like it isn't there. But it is, it is.
Awesome, right? So, yeah, my cat's just looking at me. Like, why are you playing my song, Mom?
There's something
in the
air.
What is going on?
Fantastic debut.
I didn't even mean to press it. Singing Butts. This is terrible. Oh, my God. I didn't even mean to press this. All right. That's enough. Great. Awesome. I didn't even mean to really press that. But, hey, everybody's got to make a living. So, it's a fart album, The Singing Butts. It's all your favorite tunes in farts. Awesome. So, yeah, again, I'd like to thank Webster PC Repair for this wonderful sponsorship. Anyone can actually sponsor. It starts at only $10. And, you know, it's great if the person can come on the show and basically, you know, come and talk with me so that all will know how great their business is and how great, you know, how they feel about it. It's always best coming from the person themselves and, you know, the business owner or whoever, just the artist, you know, everybody wants to talk to the original person. So do I. I mean, because I like to hear it from the person themselves, you know. And so if you want to do that, it's still $10. Or if you want to just send $10 into me, you can do that too. And we will mention you on the air. Well, I hope that you've had a wonderful evening here. Only on for another 25 minutes, and we have no callers tonight, and that's fine, because, like, it, you know, and whatever, like, people can't call all the time, they're busy, like, they have shit to do, and I understand that, and that's perfectly fine. So we are going to go to another video, and it's a very interesting video. I always play these people because they have so much interesting stuff. It really is. It's like, it is interesting. So we are going to go. Did I play this before? Gladio? Did I play this one before? I don't think so, but I'm going to play it again. It's called Operation Gladio, The Secret War by Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. But I want you to know, so here it is for you.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. In 1984, an Italian judge named Felice Casson and his colleagues questioned a terrorist named Vincenzo Vinciguerra about a 1972 car bombing in Petano and a 1980 bombing in Bologna. This Petano bombing had originally been blamed on a communist group called the Red Brigades, but Casson noticed troubling anomalies in the case. Vinciguerra's testimony traced the crime to a right-wing group called Ordine Nuovo, or New Order, of which he was a member. Eventually, he received a life sentence for the 1972 bombing, but his testimony and Casson's investigation led to something much, much bigger, a shadowy collaboration that connected Freemasonry, terrorism, and intelligence agencies in numerous countries, a web that led across borders and oceans all the way to the U.S. government. Here's where it gets crazy. The story starts decades ago, in the aftermath of World War II. The uneasy alliance between Western powers and the Soviet sphere quickly deteriorated. Both regimes believed the other would inevitably attempt to expand, sparking a war for global supremacy. Working through NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the West established stay-behind armies that were, in theory, waiting to respond in case of a future Soviet invasion. This program was called Operation Gladio, and for most of its history, it didn't exist, not officially. The countries with stay-behind armies included at least 17 nations other than Italy, some of which were not members of NATO at the time. In 1990, then-Italian Prime Minister Giulio Andreotti admitted the existence of Gladio in Italy while denying that these secret armies were involved in any terrorist activity. However, that's not the story Vinciguerra told. Instead, the ex-terrorist said that his organization was supported by Gladio, supplied with weapons from secret caches, and ordered to perpetrate false flag attacks that could be used to vilify left-wing or communist groups. And, at the time, it's important to note that left-wing groups were growing in popularity. This news caused a furor in Italy, as more and more witnesses came forward, alleging that a great deal of Italy's terrorist attacks were actually bankrolled by intelligence agencies working in concert with the infamous propaganda duo. In his 1990 speech, Prime Minister Andreotti said that Gladio had been dismantled and, in any case, never participated in any terrorist acts. But was it true? Whistleblower Sybil Edmonds claims that Gladio soldiered on in the form of a program called Gladio B, this time involving U.S. intelligence, the Pentagon, and Al-Qaeda. Some dismiss her allegations as nonsense, while others wonder why there wasn't more investigation of this in the mainstream news. Today, much of the details of Gladio, the original one at least, remain classified, isolated somewhere in the murky, opaque quagmire of national security. Why is that? What exactly did Gladio do? Did it ever end? For now, that's something quite a few people don't want you to know. Mordecai Vanunu, this Moroccan-born Israeli citizen, former nuclear technician, and current pacifist, was accused of treason and espionage in 1986. When he violated his non-disclosure agreement and revealed Israel's secret nuclear weapon program to the world. Israel's alleged secret nuclear weapon program to the world.
So that was Operation Gladio, the secret war on stuff they don't want you to know. So we began at the beginning of the show with a couple things. We began the show with a couple different things in regard to the rumor fight with who took Johnny and some of the other news that we had around here with all the molesters in our towns trying to pick up our kids. Awful. So let's just end the night with another interesting thing, which brings the attention to some of these people. What is the Finders cult? And this was a real thing. You may not have heard of this before, but hey, here we go. There's one more here. What is the Finders cult on stuff they don't want you to know? Oh, and there's an ad. Like, I just hate that. Speaking of ads, this program has been brought to you by WebsterPCRepair.com. Give Mike a call. He'll hook you up. All right.
And turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. On February 8, 1987, the New York Times ran a report on six children found in the Tallahassee playground earlier that week. The kids, aged 2 to 7, were accompanied by two men, Douglas Edward Zimmerman and Michael Houlihan. The men, in their late 20s, were arrested and initially charged with child abuse. Original reports implied that this could be anything from a case of mundane kidnapping to human trafficking to a cult. Here's where it gets crazy. You may not have heard of the Finders cult before, and that's probably how they like it. At the time of the arrest, the Finders cult was based in D.C. The men arrested with the children were members of this cult, along with the mothers of the children. The men claimed they were taking the kids to Mexico for school. When authorities raided Finder property north of D.C. and outside Culpeper, Virginia, they were impressed with the high-tech gear they found. However, they didn't find anything illegal. Or did they? Here the stories begin to conflict. Authorities in Florida claimed two of the kids showed signs of abuse, but the Metropolitan PD stated they found no evidence of child abuse within the organization. Over the years, the story of the Finders cult has sparked numerous theories as researchers draw connections between this group and other cases of alleged human trafficking and slavery, or even CIA connections. The CIA denies these allegations, and the leader of the Finders, Marion Petty, also denies any connection. In an article for U.S. News and World Report, Petty claimed that the group is a communal, holistic living and learning arrangement. They conduct freelance journalism, research, and competitor intelligence for foreign clients, but not for foreign governments. However, the article notes that law enforcement sources found some Finders' names in the FBI counterintelligence files. An alleged customs report paints a picture of an international organization actively working with embassies from Moscow to Hong Kong. This same report alleges that the investigation into child trafficking was blocked by the CIA. But was this just part of the 1990s-era satanic panic, when dozens of other similar accusations surfaced only to be disproven? Author Wendell Menick, who spent 2 years researching the group, believes they are just eccentric, dysfunctional adults. Disgruntled former members say the group is a cult, but do not accuse it of being a human trafficking hub. For skeptics, the story of the Finders is just a story of misguided, strange adults and their families suddenly thrown into the spotlight of the American media machine. For others, however, the Finders present a glimpse behind the curtain at something bigger than local law enforcement could ever imagine, something the federal government, and perhaps its masters, don't want you to know.
Yeah, so there's that. Anyhow, I'm going to end this with just a few other little juicy tidbits. There's only 15 minutes left, so you should definitely take some time and listen to this juicy song. I think you're going to know who the artist is, and it's just great. I can barely contain myself when I listen to this song. It is by a very well-known actor. Everybody knows him, and you're going to love it. If you love it as much as I do, then I don't know. But you're going to love this. I won't even tell you who it is. Just you guess. It's just thrilling, let me tell you.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
In case you didn't know, that is William Shatner. And yeah, I don't even know. I can only listen to one song at a time because it's a little. I get too excited when I hear that. It's too much for me. I can't handle myself. So just to review, let's review our show tonight, people. So we started off with some interesting news about different stuff. And again, I'd like to say thanks to Webster PC Repair. This is just, I can't even talk. I'm so distracted by this William Shatner song. I can't even speak. Yeah. Well, once you see it for yourself and hear it for yourself, and again and again and again, I think you'll be just as shocked as I am. Maybe next time on the show we'll have a special guest who has a very interesting business and a lot of information that people would definitely want to hear from this person. So, we have one more, and this will probably end the night because it's time to go. We only got 10 minutes left. Actually, that one, let me see. 10 minutes left. What can we do in 10 minutes? What awful thing can I play on the air in 10 minutes? God, I don't even know. Jeez, I'm just lost for words. I got to stop playing this. If you want to distract people and, you know, brainwash them or whatever, definitely just use this song, people will be stopped in their tracks, let me tell you. So tonight we had Zardoz, a letter from the Oregonian. Nature smells like a big giant fart. The Gladio, Finder's Cult, William Shatner. This Man, Jade Helm. Mystery Toynbee Tiles, Top 10 Internet Mysteries. Jade Helm, did I say that? Jade Helm? Some fart song that I didn't even mean to play. And I would also again like to thank Webster PC Repair. If you got any issues with your computer or your electronical stuff, like I do, you're definitely going to want to call Michael at Webster PC Repair. .com. That number is 774-321-5088. Tell him that you heard it on Black Hat. And that, you know, because he can take people all over. He does it remotely. So if there is anything that you're having an issue with, definitely give him a call. What is Cicada 3301? Another internet mystery. Like, I would just follow this stuff. I don't even know why, but at heart, I guess I'm a like I said, I'm a total dork, and I love it. There's an ad, so we won't listen to this. But this is one of the things that was on that other video. It's about Cicada 3301. So if you're like me, you'll want to hear this.
What is Cicada 3301? You can turn back now. Or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. The practice of recreationally solving puzzles dates back into antiquity, at least to the time of Archimedes. In the modern age, puzzles have become increasingly complex. We live in a world where it's possible to communicate almost instantly with people on the other side of the globe.
Shit, I hate it when this happens. Like, I'm trying to do a show and everybody just goes on the internet and screws it up on me. Come on, guys.
Back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. No government is entirely secure. Regardless of how closely secrets are kept, outside forces will inevitably attempt to influence any state. The United States is no different. Usually the spies are coming from foreign powers, but what if one of the largest infiltrations in U.S. history didn't come from another government at all, but a church? Is it possible that Scientologists really compromised the United States? Here's where it gets crazy. Yes, at least according to U.S. courts. In 1977, a man named Michael Meisner contacted the FBI, claiming he'd escaped from captivity and had evidence of criminal actions by Scientologists. This led to the 1978 case of the U.S. versus Mary Sue Hubbard et al., where D.C.'s district court found 11 people guilty of a conspiracy to steal, purloin, and convert to their own use records from the U.S. government. These weren't deep-cover KGB agents either. Instead, these were members of a Church of Scientology group called the Guardian's Office. According to the church's critics, these conspirators were carrying out Operation Snow White, a directive meant to combat negative views of Scientology. In fair game, secrecy, security, and the Church of Scientology in Cold War America, author Hugh V. Urban claims that the operation illegally stole documents from the IRS, the DEA, and more in an attempt to cover up criminal activity. And, also infiltrated other governments around the world. The sweeping nature of this conspiracy, also including the Coast Guard, the American Medical Association, and more, stunned the feds and spurred further investigation. Today, the Church maintains that its critics are mischaracterizing the story, that while Church founder L. Ron Hubbard did write about a Snow White program, it was meant only to legally address falsities about Scientology. The Church notes that while some members of the Guardian's office committed crimes, they were not acting under orders of Scientology, and the Guardian's office has since been disbanded. Operation Snow White, they say, never really existed. From their perspective, their enemies are attempting to discredit the Church and hoping that false accusations will do the job. The United States disagrees. Instead, it maintains Church operatives successfully committed espionage. Today, the Church remains a massively successful organization with members around the world. The United States government and the Church of Scientology don't agree on the events of Snow White, but these two sides have one thing in common. They each think there's something the other doesn't want you to know.
Well, there's only 3 minutes left, so I just want to say thanks for listening. Maybe this video will actually play. What is Cicada 3301? We'll try that again, and then the show will be done. So you have a wonderful Memorial Day, and keep listening to Broadcast History.
What is
Thank you, WebsterPCRepair.com.
You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. Here are the facts. The practice of recreationally solving puzzles dates back into antiquity, at least to the time of Archimedes. In the modern age, puzzles have become increasingly complex. We live in a world where it's possible to communicate.
Oh, come on. Why is this doing this?
Almost instantly, with people on the other side of the globe.
Honestly? A lot of people must be watching this video right now. Get out of here. All right, guys, I can't believe this video.
Instantly, with people on the other side of the globe, so it's no surprise that the sophistication of puzzles should evolve in step.
Really?
With the sophistication of our communication systems.
Yeah, find out why. Well, we are experiencing some technical difficulties, so let me just see what else I can get. Other than that, have a great night. Thank you to WebsterPCRepair.com, and you have yourself a wonderful evening.
Puzzles have even been used as hiring filters by intelligence agencies and corporations. Of our communication systems. Puzzles have even been used as hiring filters by intelligence agencies and corporations, although with debatable results. With these.
Thanks again for watching, listening to Black Cat Mysteries. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
It's difficult to know who's responsible for what. Masterminds behind a puzzle. Admit what they've done. In other cases, we have a pretty good idea. But every once in a while,